You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Thank you so much to our all senior worship team. It is always just one of my favorite places in the whole world to be in this room worshiping together. And tonight is an extra special night. It's the last night of our school year, which means it's our last night with our seniors, the class of 2026. And what's so special about times of transition, life is full of changing of seasons, and each one is an opportunity for us to look back and reflect on the ways that we've seen God move. And it's also an opportunity for us to look ahead and be open to what God might be calling us to next. And in HSM, every student, every class brings such a unique blessing to our HSM family and community. And Psalm 145, verse 4 and 5 say, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works." On the last night of the school year in HSM, we like to hand the microphones, we like to hand everything over to our seniors so that their generation can share how they've seen God move to all of us, that we would all be inspired by the legacy and lessons that they've learned, and that we would cheer them on and commission them off into what God has for them next. So tonight we are going to start with hearing a couple of testimonies from a few of our seniors. And tonight we're going to hear from Lucas and Cole. And I'm gonna invite Lucas up here first. Let's give it up for Lucas. And Lucas and Cole are each going to share, what did God teach them during their high school years? And so, Lucas, without further ado, let me get you a microphone. You probably need that. Let's give it up one more time for Lucas.
All right, thank you. So, like Pastor Claire just said, we were asked to answer the question, what has God taught you throughout high school? And one thing that probably most people who don't go to Western, and even some people who do, might not know about me, is I transferred halfway through my sophomore year of high school. And I came to that conclusion after I just felt really alone, and like I wasn't in good community. The people I was friends with, they weren't doing the things that I wanted to do. And just talking to my parents and praying with God, I had seen what Western had done for my brother, and I had seen how it had changed his life. Me and my parents, with God, made the decision that I was going to transfer, and the decision mainly behind that was to find good community. So that's what my answer to the question is God has taught me in high school to find good community, because the people that you surround yourself with are really who you'll become. Like, you hear that a lot, and you don't think it's true until you see it happening to yourself, like, in retrospect. Like, I thought I was doing perfectly fine. I thought I was being a good example to the people I was hanging out with, and that just wasn't true. I was just as far away from God as everyone I was hanging out with was. But once I came to Western, I was able to get into community with people like Cole, people like August, Josiah, just my whole friend group who's been just awesome, people like Jenna, who's not here tonight, but she's been great, Logan, people who have just had such great impact on my life because of how close they are to God. So that's the main point, is just to find good community. So if you're anybody who's not a senior, even if you are a senior going into college, just make sure that you are committed to finding good community. And then the first point I have under that is to be the good community that you want to be surrounded by. I got the opportunity to speak at our middle school's chapel, and I kind of talked about the same thing just because it's had such an impact on my life. But just being the kind of person you want to be surrounded by is like the biggest thing you can do, because why would people want to hang out with you if you're like not good to be around, you're bringing them down? Why would the people who you want to surround yourself with want to surround themselves with you if you're not bringing them up, you're taking them down. So it's just super important to actually be committed to the word and be committed to God and have that internal relationship that people can see through you. And as I've grown in my faith, I've grown in my relationships with my friends who are deep in their faith. So that's just the biggest thing is finding good community and being the kind of person you want to be surrounded by. Because like I mentioned earlier, you become like the people you spend the most time with. And my next point is how to identify good community. So good community are people who are going to push you towards God even when it's uncomfortable. Somebody who has done this for my life is Cole. He's called me out so many times, but every time he does it in such a loving way. And it's not like a, oh, you're wrong kind of way. It's like a, hey, like, I think you can improve on this. Or hey, like, maybe you should work on this because this thing you're doing might be hurting your testimony, or I think you can do this better to improve your testimony or improve your discipleship abilities. So a verse that I have that goes along with that is, it's pretty popular. It's Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. It's just a good reminder that the people you surround yourself with are going to either sharpen you or dull you. And you want them to sharpen you, and you want them to sharpen you so that you point towards God. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on is just constantly be in community and don't isolate yourself, because when you isolate, that's when you find yourself feeling sorry for yourself. You find yourself, everything just kind of sucks, honestly, when you're alone all the time, because you need other people pouring Christ into you. So the verse that I have for that is Hebrews 10:24-25. And it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet one another, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near." It's just a good reminder that we need to not neglect meeting each other, because when you isolate, like I said, everything just goes downhill. But when you're in that good, godly community, you're deeper in your word, you're deeper in your relationship with God, and just you just feel the Spirit closer to you because you're surrounded by people who are filled with the Spirit. So that's just what I had, was just be find good community, be the good person, or be the community you want to be surrounded by, and just constantly be in community and don't isolate yourself. So, thank you.
Sweet. Thanks, Lucas. Hey, give it up one more time for Lucas. Wow. Well, what's up, guys? My name's Cole. I'm a senior, obviously. And I love playing sports. Big basketball player, and then I also play clarinet in the band, so I love doing lots of stuff. But I'm really thankful to be able to share with you guys today, because I know that HSM has had a huge impact on my life, and so I'm just grateful to be able to share a little bit of a reflection of how God has, what God has taught me, because he's taught me a lot. And so before I start, I just want to say, I want to start off with this, because I know that some of you guys are coming into this building with stuff on your heart, stuff on your mind. And so I just want to encourage you that God has relieved my stress and my burdens in this building. And there's power in this place because people love Jesus here. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're carrying anything, any weight, give it to Jesus. Talk to your small group leader, talk to your small group. Be real with them, because that's how the body of Christ is able to edify and encourage one another. So we love you guys so much. And so I'm going to get into this. I have 6 things in 5 minutes, and so, because God has taught me a lot, and this isn't even like a portion of what God's taught me, but I'm going to get started. We're going to go quick, because there's a lot of good stuff. So number one, I don't know, time is the most valuable currency you have. How I kind of realized this is I kind of thought to myself, I was like, okay, I don't have a job, so what do I have to give? I was like, if I can't give, how am I going to contribute and benefit others? And I realized I have my time, and I can give people my time. And so remembering that, like, how you use your time and the choices that you make is huge. And so time is the most valuable currency you have. We see this in Ephesians 5:15-17. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so that's just a super big encouragement that I have received from God, I think, is that time is valuable, and the choices that you make with your time is so precious, because we don't get time back. That's the one thing that you don't get back is time. So number two, the best life you can live is one of daily surrender to Jesus, because it is a life of eternal value. And that is something, like, what is a good life? What is the eternal life? That's something I've been thinking about this past year is because I've been like, all right, college is next year. Like, what's after college? And just thinking about that, like, what is a good life? What's a life of eternal value? And that is one that's living for Jesus, because whatever you do for Jesus is going to last to eternity. And we see this in Matthew 6:19, where it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so that's something that the Lord has really encouraged me this year, is that, hey, like, don't store up your treasures in here and on this earth, but use your life in daily surrender. It's a daily thing of every night saying, God, I want to be used by you. Use me for your kingdom. And so he's really taught me that. Number three, pursue peace through forgiveness and genuine love. It says in Romans 12:18, it says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And we do this in John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as this world gives, but I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And I think this is something that the Lord has really spoken to me, is living peaceably with others. And how can I protect my witness, but then how can I be somebody who loves others genuinely and who pursues peace and promotes peace? And the way that you do that is through forgiveness. I think people mess up. They hurt your feelings. I mess up. Like, I hurt other people's feelings. And the way that you can pursue peace is through forgiveness and asking for forgiveness and repenting and lowering yourself in humility. Now, I do recognize there's some things that are, like, super, super hard to forgive. And often, like, other people won't forgive you. And so that's why I was kind of thinking about it as I was kind of thinking about this, is that, like, whatever, like, disagreement there is, let it be a one-sided beef, not with you, but with the other person. And so for those that are not willing to forgive, let it be a one-sided beef and continue to move on. Okay, number four, value people over things, activities, and agenda. I think this is so big because we often get really caught up in, like, hey, I got these things I got to do. I got to get my homework done. I got to go to my sports practice, all that stuff. But really, the most important thing in life is people. And so how are you living your life in a way that is of eternal value? And the thing is, like, the sports are going to go away. The classes, they're going to go away. But the people last. The memories that you make with people, dude, those are priceless. And so value people over things, activities. If that means you got to lose sleep, because people are so important. I see this in Philippians 2:3-4. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." People are so important. I mean, I think about that. Like, I don't really remember all this studying, but I remember the memories I make with people. Number five, second to last. And this is a big one. Don't passively allow your phone to rob your life by giving it power to make you distracted. This is something that the Lord has totally convicted me. It's just like your phone can, like, rob you of so many memories, of so many connections with people. And so don't let yourself be distracted. I was reading this book, and it was talking about, like, the trends of, like, the church. And it was saying that one of the trends in this day and age of the technology is simple distractedness, how we're always allowing ourselves to be simply distracted. And so I encourage you guys to push that away. I think about that in my life, like when I'm with my family and it's like after school and like we're all kind of home for a little bit and then we're all just on our phones. It's like, what are we doing? And so don't let your passively allow your phone, because I think it's not a conscious thought for a lot of us, but make sure, don't let your phone rob you of your life, because I've been robbed of so many memories because I've spent so much time on my phone. And then last thing, contentment comes with gratitude. I think a lot of people, especially in high school, I don't know, just like in general, people like to complain. That's something like I really try not to do, is complain. Because when you complain, you're just seeking the bad things in life. And often when you complain, you just become grumpy. And so that's something that the Lord's really convicted me of, is like, hey, just be grateful. And when you seek gratitude, you're content. And when you're content, you're kind of happy. And so, yeah, that's kind of cool. And so I see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 when it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances," because I know that the life that God calls us to live in the Bible is a good life. It's a life of eternal value, and it's also a life of freedom and joy. And so those are just six things that I encourage you guys to do, because those are the things that the Lord has really taught me through high school and through my experiences and all that. So if Thank you so much. I'm going to pray to welcome up our Q&A panel. So if you're on that panel, you can come on up. Let's bow together. Dear Lord Jesus, God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we've had as us seniors to have 4 years in this building, God, because we know that there is so much power in this building because there are people who love you. And Lord Jesus, we know that you are a miracle worker. And so, Lord, I pray that if anybody is in here with any burdens, God, they're nervous for something or they're scared, they're anxious, Lord Jesus, I pray that you free them with the power of your Holy Spirit because, God, I know that you can do miracles, Lord Jesus, as you've done miracles in my life. And so, Lord, would you continue to move in mighty ways in this place, God? I pray that everybody who needs you, Lord Jesus, that they would know that they got a place here where people love Jesus. And so, God, would you bless this night? Would you speak to us through this Q&A panel? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cole. Can we thank Cole and Lucas? What an inspiring word. And at this time, we're going to hear from some more seniors. And feel free at this time to take out your phone really quick and text in a question to ask a senior. Anything about faith, high school, things that you want to know from our graduating class. And we have a panel of some seniors up here, so I'm just going to ask each of you, while questions are coming in, could you introduce yourself and share what grade ended up being your favorite in high school, or I guess you could go middle and elementary, so yeah.
I'm Reese. Sophomore year was definitely my favorite.
Ooh.
I'm Scarlett, and I'd say junior year was my favorite.
Ooh.
I'm Jaren. I think senior year was my favorite.
Awesome.
I'm Nathan. I think sophomore year probably would be my favorite.
Awesome. So cool. Well, we're excited to hear from all of you, and our first question that has come up, maybe I will throw this to, maybe we could start with Nathan. What are things that can help you balance your relationship with God and sports or other extracurricular activities?
I say would be the best, would probably be just setting some time to decide. I know how annoying it is to, like, you have practice, you have games, oh no, someone's sick, you gotta show up again. It's fine. Just set time aside and then dedicate your time in prayer or whatever type of gospel you want to practice for that night, because that's very important. Just be consistent.
Awesome. Scarlett, do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, I wouldn't say, I think what you said was perfect, like definitely setting away time. For me, I need a plan. Like, I can't just open up my Bible and be like, oh, what do I want to read? Like, I have to have a plan, so having a plan set away and having time set away is the best way for me to deal with stuff like that. So
good. Thank you, guys. Okay, next question. Anyone can answer this. What was your blessing during high school? What was your biggest blessing during high school? I thought that was a fun one.
Not to be cheesy, but HSM. yeah, just having this community was just the very best. I feel like HSM was like the consistent community in my life. I changed school, like what school I did every single year of high school, but I always showed up to HSM every Wednesday, and that was the consistency and just truly the biggest blessing.
Thanks, Reese. Anyone else? Biggest blessing during high school?
This is going to be a surprise, but serving on Sundays, because that's like, I see you. they work me. So it's refreshing because you don't see the church as just like a place where you go worship, but like a group of people that you like all come together and then worship alongside you, because I work cafe. I think half of you know that. So I get to see the morning and the afternoon group who shows up. So I get to see every single service show up and see each and everyone and see how different they are. Yet they all come on Sundays and they all come to worship God. It's great.
That's so beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. So helpful. Staying in community, serving. This next question, we're getting some really awesome ones, and is maybe like The opposite of the last question. I'll give you a moment to think about it. What was the most difficult part of high school for you, and how did it affect your faith? Anyone can answer. What was the most difficult part of high school, and how did it affect your faith?
There you go. So I think that throughout most of high school, I have been a kind of people pleaser, you know, bottling up my own feelings and all that for the sake of others, to try and keep them happy. And that has really kind of mentally broke me throughout high school. And it's also provided as a great lesson to like kind of not be like that. Obviously you can still be kind to people, but that's not what people pleasing is. It's more like kind of censoring yourself to trick yourself into making you think that other people like you, kind of. Because people will like you regardless. Like, if you're nice, if you're friendly, people will like you. You don't have to bottle up everything about you, trying to micromanage every single decision you make to try and be, I guess, perfect in a way to others. But that's probably the hardest thing, is like dealing with that. And I'm still, you know, I'm still kind of sort of in that, but I feel like I'm much better now. And that also kind of contributes to why senior year is my favorite, because I was like the kind of breakthrough of that.
That's so awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Jaren.
Love that.
Support from the life group. Did you have something, Scarlett?
Yeah, so honestly, for me, I would just say the busyness of schoolwork, life, balancing all of the things that come with being in high school. Like, I didn't do sports, but like even serving on Sundays and schoolwork, like it's really a lot and it can be exhausting. And that really did take a toll on my relationship with God, is like honestly stopping coming here took a big toll as well. So prioritizing being in church, spending time with your community, or like even just going out and getting coffee with someone or something like that. Like, that is something that really helps.
That's but, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scarlett. I'm going to throw this one back to Scarlett and Nathan. How did you healthily deal with stress during high school?
Okay.
Sure.
I feel like, I get stressed very easily, and I get stressed a lot. But I think the biggest thing to remember is that stress is temporary. It's not something that's going to be a constant in your life. Time passes. And your burdens are God's burdens as well. So God wants to take that off of you, so share it with him. That's, I think, a really big thing. And honestly, what really helps me is making a list of things that I need to do and then checking them off. That lightened the load. But yeah, that's what I would say.
Awesome.
It's kind of in vain of like what I answered before about how you strengthen your relationship with God even through high school. It would be just spending time with like community, like coming here. Continue to do that, please. But it's hard to understand, because I've seen what massive amount of stress can do to an individual. Like, it's bad. And you should not keep that all bottled up. You should have like community to come together with and just share your troubles and share your like fears, and also share your enjoyments and all your celebrations in life with. So that's, I say it would be the greatest way to describe it, is just find your community, Lucas, find your community to just have some people to be around you and come together and just like understand how to, I guess, just be able to lighten the load sometimes, because that's another big thing. You can't take on the whole world. You need help.
Absolutely. I love what you guys are sharing. God wants to carry our burdens, and as a Christ-centered community, we want to carry each other's burdens too. I love it. Okay, we have time for a couple more questions. I'll throw this one to Reese and Jaren. What can I do to help my life group have deep friendships? What can I do to help my life group have deep friendships?
I think definitely be the friend that you want to have, and your vibe attracts your tribe. So if you're, did you say that?
That was a good one.
Oh, well, same point. But yeah, your vibe attracts your tribe, so be the friend that you want to have. And also, deep friendships really form just from spending time together. It doesn't have to be a deep conversation every time you're together, but the more you're around each other, the closer you'll naturally get. So any chance that you can be with each other, be with each other, and serve together, and show up every week, even if you don't want to, and just be here, and it'll naturally happen.
Thanks, Reese. Jaren, do you have anything to add?
I mean, yeah, my answer is very similar, just be around your life group, try to make plans. I like to try to arrange dates to go to like the mall or something, where we just not anything deep or serious, we just go to the mall, hang out and talk, don't even have to buy anything, just going there is really nice. I always try to do stuff like that. I'm actually going to the mall with Andrew later tomorrow.
I love that.
But
practicing preach.
And that's kind of something you just have to initiate. Like that won't, you know, there won't be some other thing that will be like, oh, a mall meetup right now. It's like you have to be the one to initiate that, and just yeah. That's all I have to say on that.
Awesome. That's so helpful, you guys. And for our last question, I would love to hear from all of you if you have an answer. A student's asking, what's your life verse? Like, what Bible verse did you always find yourself turning back to? What Bible verse encouraged you throughout high school?
I have two. One for high school specifically is Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And for my whole life, it's Colossians 3:12, which is, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, so for mine, I would say is Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, yeah, that's my life verse.
Amen.
So for me, I'd say my verse, and I also have this written in like the bio of some of my social media accounts, but it's Matthew 22:37-39, the two commandments from Jesus, where Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. That is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That second one, I feel like being really important for everyday life, because if you love how, like, people kind of forget that like people are people, and you should be treating them how you would want to be treated. I mean, it's literally called like the golden rule, even outside of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a good rule to live by, and it doesn't cost you anything. It's free to be nice, and it feels good to be nice, because when you make others feel nice, then you also make yourself feel nice too. So it's just a win-win.
God is so clever that way.
Yeah.
Amen. Nathan?
Man, mine's much more basic than all of us. It's like the first one you learn, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." I think that is mine, just on the statement of, no one really thinks about the verse. It's more of a cadence now. If you, like, I remember it was like Awana, it was like a cadence. You had to learn it just because for credit. But now it's like, you think about it. God gave his one and only son. Who here would have given their child to save effectively cats and dogs from committing sin in the entire world. That's just, it baffles some people, and I feel like that should be something that should be preached more, because, like, yes, he gave his child in order to help us get closer of a relationship with him.
Amen. And that is the good news that unites us all. Can we give it up for our panel? That was so powerful. Now, to end our time together, I'm going to ask our panelists to put back the mics. And if you are a graduating senior, I want to invite you up to stage. And you guys are just going to stand side by side along here. And while our seniors are making their way up to stage, I want to highlight a couple of things that we're going to be doing in our life groups. Yeah, come on up, you guys, and line up in the middle together. Leaders, feel free to join. Feel free to join as well. But yeah, I want to highlight a couple of things. First of all of your seats, you have a little card that says, "Thank you, seniors." This card is for you to write a thank you letter to a senior. So if there's a friend up here who you really appreciate, who you value and love, we want you to take one of these, write them a little letter, and give it to them at the end of the night. And then during your life groups, all of you, thank you, Zoe, for getting ready for the video. I needed that. I was going to ask someone to do that. During life groups, all of you are going to have another card that says HSM. And on the back side, it says, "Dear HSMer." And during your life groups tonight, each of you are going to write a letter to a future HSMer. So if you are our sophomore boys, you are going to write letters to the future sophomore boys, the current freshmen. If you are a junior girl, you're going to write a letter to future junior girls, the current sophomore girls. And we want you to encourage them with a prayer, a piece of advice. Just as our seniors have blessed us, we want to bless the next class, and we're excited to do all of that together. So leaders, if you did not get these cards or you need more, come talk to me or Anna after this. But with that, we have made it to the end of our time all together on our last Wednesday night. And so you guys have seen us do this before, but anytime someone joins us in HSM, especially leaders, anytime someone graduates from HSM, we like to make sure that they know how loved they are, how much we recognize that they are a gift from God. And so on the count of three, we are going to give a standing ovation, thanking God for the incredible class of 2026. So, HSM, would we bless the class of 2026? One, two, three. All right, you guys, stay standing, and from where you are, extend your hand forward towards our seniors. This is just a way of us outwardly expressing what's going on in our hearts, that we are with this class, that we are for them, and we're going to close our time together in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and as one of our seniors just shared, you loved us so much that you gave your one and only son in order to save us, and we thank you that your gospel, that news, is what unites us all. The reason why we gather here together is to know you better, to worship you, and to be a community that brings you honor, and we thank you for the last 4 years, you have used these incredible students and these leaders to show us your love. When I think of this particular class, I do think of the word love, because they have loved you with their whole hearts, and they have loved on our HSM community. We know you better, we are better because of this class, and we pray that you would bless these seniors as they go. In whatever you call them to next, would you just become even more the Lord of their lives? Would they grow into men and women women who look more and more like you every day? And would they walk forward into the good plans you have for them, knowing that they are always a part of the HSM family, that we love them and that we're cheering them on? And Lord, for all of us, all of us as underclassmen, would we be continually inspired by this class to seek you and know you and love you and to do that together in community? We love you so much. Bless our life group time, and we pray this all, lift it all up in the name of Jesus. Amen.